Welcome to the Spirit
Love
of
Talk
America.
Radio.
Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book. And it's Sunday night at 7:30. I just got in and I quickly threw a couple of tunes on the Bobby. Let's see what we're going to open up with. We'll open up with A Million to One. That's taken place since this lemon lied his way into office. And I got to tell you, 4 more years of this guy, you're not going to have a country and you may have a civil war, depending on how bad he hurts the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. This man does not love this country. He has no skin in the game in the USA. And that's where I come from. That's my position. I'm very disappointed. Hope and Change has turned out to be hoax and chains. Now we got a debate coming up with the Joe Biden and Paul Ryan. 70 million of voters watched the first debate. 55 million viewers watch American Idol. 41 million Americans are Tea Partiers. 69,500,000 voters elected Obama. McCain got 60 million. McCain. What a shame is McCain. This guy has been senator in Arizona. We got a drug problem in this country that's killing Americans every day. We lose more Americans to drugs every day than we're losing in Afghanistan. And they all come through Arizona. So, Bush in 2004 had 62 million votes. Kerry had 59 million. 121 people voted. Bush won Florida in 2004, just barely. Romney will win Florida. Bush lost New Jersey in 2004 because the jerk that was running his campaign, Ken Melman, I call him Ken Lemon, advised Bush not to go to New York or New Jersey because they were already lost. Can you believe that? And the Democrats warned Bush he better not speak about 9-1-1. And here you got Obama's making a movie where he's a Navy SEAL sealing his records. So 121 million people voted Bush-Kerry. And Bush won Florida in 2004. Romney will win Florida. And I got to tell you, I heard a Jewish lady on Bob Grant today, and she's telling her Jewish friends, if you vote for this Obama, you're crazy. You're absolutely crazy, and she's right. And yet I spoke to a Jewish friend today, and he's not sure who he's going to vote for. So I appealed to his Yiddish cup. I said, vote for the businessman. The other guy never made a dollar in his life. Please. Never made a dollar in his life. He doesn't know how to make a buck. Romney knows how to make a buck. Romney will win 12 states. Bush lost in 2004. Plus, keep all the states Bush won. Here are the 11, the other 11 that are going to be fake outs. They're close calls, and they're going to be, once everybody wakes up and realizes we're going broke with this lemon that we have now, we're going broke, and the government's going to get bigger, and we're all going to be picking cotton in Alaska. So Bush will win Connecticut, Delaware. He's even going to win Hawaii. I'm sorry, did I say Bush? I meant Romney. Connecticut, Delaware, Hawaii. You know how bad it is in Connecticut when Joe Liebowitz, a Democrat who votes to burn the flag and votes to kill kids, abandons the Democratic Party and claims he's an independent. You know things are bad. So you got Connecticut, Delaware, Hawaii, Maine, Michigan, Minnesota, New Hampshire, Ohio, which is the state that they're all struggling over. Oregon, I can't believe this, but Oregon looks like it may go Romney. Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, I don't see how Pennsylvania can't go for Romney. If you got part of your community digging for coal and you vote for Obama, you're crazy. If you got a friend that fishes for a living and you're voting for Obama, you're crazy. If you think GM is a success story, you're crazy. And we got Wisconsin, and all 12 were close call states in 2004. There's a day of reckoning coming. 41 million Tea Partiers is a lot of voters that are all going one way. So having said that, let me give you a little tune, see if we can find something that's really cheerful. I'm going to dedicate this tune to the congresswoman who refused to say the Pledge of Allegiance because it's a prayer. Thank you. communist Congresswoman Babette. Babette! God shed his grace on thee too, and crown thy good with brotherhood, and leave the rest of us alone. Anyway, we picked up some information tonight that this Monica Lewinsky book that's coming out is going to be devastating. And also there are calls for Hillary Clinton to resign as Secretary of State because of this Benghazi fiasco, this Benghazi cover-up, and the ignoring of cries for help from the four who were trapped. Yes, deaf ears. Somebody turned off the transmission radio. Yep. Well, anyway, apparently the biggest scandal in the minds of the American people, in the pot-ridden minds of the American people, are what's happening with this Monica Lewinsky story. So our listening devices happened to be up at Chappaqua doing a scan, and we picked up a conversation between Hillary and Bill deciding on how they're going to handle this Monica Lewinsky book. Here's some excerpts.
You dirty swine! I never cared for you, not once. I was always making a fool of you. You bored me stiff. I hated you. It made me sick when I had to let you kiss me. I only did it because you begged me. You hounded me. You drove me crazy. And after you kissed me, I always used to wipe my mouth. Wipe my mouth!
Yes, true love conquers all. Okay, want to dig for oil in the United States? I do.
Free from black gold, our love never can be. Once we lived in a shack, black gold. And this girl loved me back, loved me more, more than black gold. I was caught in her web, just like the spider captures the fly, and I knew what is more I must leave her or die. Marina mine, set me free. From black gold, blowing wild, blowing
ever ask yourself, with all the media cover-ups of all the mistakes that the Party of Death is making, the 2,000 dead Americans in Afghanistan under Obama, when under Bush it was 461 in 8 years, and it's all being sanitized, your news is being sanitized. Now this is the news that leaks out, that they cover up. Imagine all the news that they successfully keep from leaking. How blind are you? Are you one eye or one and a half eyes? How much fact are you really getting on how bad off we are in this country right now and how it's getting worse? Priest in church today says the divorce rate is between 50 and 60%. 50 to 60%, if you had 50 to 60% businesses failing, you would be in a depression. It is really sad. So, let me turn to another conversation. What is wrong with the U.S. Navy? What is wrong with the U.S. Navy? I turned on my TV to enjoy the christening of a new U.S. warship named after a Navy SEAL. I think his name is Lieutenant Michael Murphy. He took four bullets in the back in Afghanistan, trying to get to a high point where he could signal for help. And he gave his life for his fellow servicemen. So they named a U.S. warship after him. I guess that, you know, I always said if I was a politician, I wouldn't want a building named after me or a highway. Well, definitely not a holiday because I know I'm gone. So I turned on my TV to enjoy this christening today. And I look at all these Navy officers with their white gloves and they're wearing these medals. They got all this metal hanging on their chest. Now, I like ribbons. I'm a ribbon man. You know, a ribbon says it all. It's neat. These medals all hanging off, dingling. They look like, what's the thing you put outside? Wind chimes. They look like human wind chimes or heroes of the Soviet Union. That used to be a big joke. They used to, the Russians gave out medals to everybody in place of food. And the word on the medal was hero, H-E-R-O, hero of the Soviet Union. And that's what these Navy guys, they look like ushers in a movie theater. I'm sorry, I got to tell it like it is. And the official who dedicated this man of war today was very good. He read a passage from the Bible and he paid a tribute to the man and family of whom the ship was named after. And then the camera landed on Chuck Schumer, a flag burner and a baby killer. There he was wearing a Kelly Green tie to gain the Kerry Kennedy Catholic vote. I was sick. And I flashed back to St. Patrick's Cathedral and a ceremony. By the way, the vote for Obama from New York versus McCain. McCain lost by 2.9 million votes in New York. So I wouldn't invest any money in New York for as a Republican. As a Republican spending money to win an election, forget New York. Forget New York. New York is gone. As a matter of fact, the Jimmy from Brooklyn, one day we were talking about how different groups get labeled, and he says, guess how many Italians are in the mafia in the whole country? I said, I don't know, Jimmy, how many? He says, 3,000. He says, guess how many communists are on the Lower East Side. I said, how many? He said, 280,000. So, and of course, he was being ironic, but, you know, he probably wasn't far from the truth. And if you want to vote for somebody that's going to save this country, you got to vote for a businessman. Obama doesn't know what he's doing. He's never had a job. He's run his whole life on gifts. The envelope, please. So I was sick. I flashed back to St. Patrick's Cathedral in a ceremony attended by Chuck Heinrich Schumer at the invitation of Cardinal Bless This Restaurant Egan. The reason I call him that is because there was a big fancy restaurant that was opening in New York, and the Cardinal was a guest, and he sat there with Woody Allen and Pinchy Sulzberg from the New York Times and all these left-wingers, and the meals started at $600 a meal, and the Cardinal was blessing the restaurant. And I just didn't like it. Sorry. Father, forgive me. I know what I'm doing. But anyway, so bless this restaurant, Cardinal Egan. How I wish that my father and father-in-law could have witnessed that sacrilege with Chuck Schumer sitting in the church. I would have heard them say, "We'll make short work of these two," as they grabbed them by the neck, back of the neck, and ran them out of the church. Chuck Schumer is the senator who did, now let's go Navy. Chuck Schumer is the senator who called for the closing of the Navy home port. I think we spent, I don't know how, millions or billions to build this Navy home port on Staten Island. We spent a lot of money to build this Navy home port on Staten Island. And it was assigned one ship, the USS Normandy. And Chuck Schumer is the senator from New York, bringing jobs to New York, who called for the closing of the Navy home port on Staten Island. After a community of private investors and small business people invested commercially to do business with the families and the crew of the USS Normandy and any other ship that would choose to dock here. Chuck's DNC party actions sent the Normandy to Virginia. 40 days before 9/11, and Chuck and 47 other senators, and 40 were Democrat, they voted to burn the flag. They called it freedom of speech. America bought the lie. Then the first plane, untracked, hit the towers. Had the USS Normandy been in New York Harbor or nearby with rated guided missiles and a 450-mile radar sweep, we could have stopped plane number two, just like the USS Vincennes did to the Iranian aircraft that strayed over protected waters in the Persian Gulf. And when I look back on that incident, how the press played it up, how we killed innocent people, I wonder if that was the first plane to practice suicide bombing, and we beat it to the punch, not knowing that there would be more suicide bombs from the air. And I remember how sad the crew of the Vincennes felt when they saw it was aircraft. They saw babies floating in the water and luggage from people. How sad it was. How bad they felt. Well, maybe without knowing it, that they stopped at the first suicide attack on an aircraft carrier. Who can say? I can tell you that two hitting the towers was not a coincidence. And they've had plans since Bojinka in the Philippines, where terrorists that got on planes dressed as Catholic priests. Okay? And they had planned to take out eight aircraft over the Pacific. And nobody would have known how those people died. Yep. So 40 Democrat senators voted to burn the flag. They recalled the Normandy to Virginia. And the home port finally was closed and became a movie studio for anti-American productions. How's that? Now we learn that we are more vulnerable with less intelligence than we were on 9/11. Last night I watched a movie about the slaughter of African Christians by Muslims in the Sudan. And one of the opening scenes, a whole village, a Christian village, is torched, and the men and women are killed, and the boys are all rounded up. Boys and girls are rounded up to be taken by the Muslim terrorists. But before they do, they have one boy and his brother, and this mean and nasty-looking terrorist, fully armed, gives the boy a club and tells the boy to kill his mother. And if he doesn't kill his mother, he will kill the boy and his brother. And the boy doesn't know what to do. He hesitates. So this nasty Muslim cuts his face with a knife, cuts his cheek up to his eye with a knife, and his mother gives him the okay to kill her. And he clubs his mother to death. Now, the boy is about 7 years old. Okay? So the movie starts off that way. But before they did that, they gave me previews of coming attractions. And one of the previews was a SEAL movie. And they show you the SEALs jumping out of a plane in the middle of the night with their weapons and gear, parachuting into dark and dangerous quarters. And then they show you them in the boat coming around the bend with the machine guns firing. And then they show you them coming up out of the water. And then they show, I show myself Benghazi. And I Google Earth to see where the embassy, the consulate was, to the beach. It was 12 blocks away, all open. Okay? And these four guys got trapped and got no help. Now, don't tell me those four guys didn't have a cell phone and they couldn't call 911. Somebody got a message. These guys are pinned down and in trouble. No jet to fly over. No helicopter bringing troops in. No SEALs coming off the beach. No SEALs diving out of planes. And we're off the coast of Libya. Now tell me where the closest the naval ship was. And tell me why these guys got no help. Even if they arrived late with the SEALs to identify the bodies and bring the bodies home. What happened? Somebody hung up the phone. Okay, so that's the next message. Now we learn that we are more vulnerable with less intelligence than we were on 9-1-1. Benghazi cover-up. The FBI in and out a record time with a quick shuffle. And, of course, you heard Judge Jeanine Pirro saying that the first thing you do at a crime scene is to close it off so nobody contaminates the evidence. We didn't send anybody there for 2 weeks. And when they got there, they left right away. So the FBI was in and out in record time with doing the quick shuffle. And the only one who told the truth from day one and laid it all out was the president of Libya, Mohamed Magarif. He told us up front of the attack was pre-planned and coordinated, as was all the attacks on the 24 embassies in the Middle East. And for the first time in my lifetime, at least since Jimmy Carter, and I don't even think we lost an American flag in Tehran, they and an embassy in Cairo abandoned the American flag and let the people tear it to shreds. What, they couldn't pull it down real quick while they were reorganizing? Yeah, that's a disgrace. So not only did we lose four men, we lost the flag. You know, there's games we used to play as kids, right? What was it? Hilltop, King of the Hill, and you had a flag. Yeah, okay. So the only one in my mind to tell the truth was Mohamed Magarif. The president of Libya. He told it as it was. And you know what? He got no press here in the United States. You ask anybody who's the president of Libya, they can't tell you. I couldn't have told you until I seen him this one day. And then I went back and Googled his name and title so I would remember it. But I sent him a questionnaire, but he won't respond to me because I'm nobody. But I asked him 11 questions. And if I find them, I'll read them to you later. But they were basic questions. One of them was, were these four people betrayed by Libyan guards? Now the word's coming out, the Libyan guards ran off. But I got to tell you, Indira Gandhi was shot in the back of the head by a bodyguard, and her son Raji also was shot by a bodyguard. So, and also King Khalid of Saudi Arabia was shot by a nephew who got close to him without being checked for a weapon. So, back shooting in this world is common, and assassination by bodyguards is also common. So that's why I asked, were the Libyan guards, were they part of the Al-Qaeda betrayal? and the only one to tell the truth, of course, was Mohammed Magarif. Why no seaside intervention? The embassy was 12 open blocks from the beach. No gunship and rescue crew? No jet plane flyover? Where was the closest U.S. warship? I want to know that one. I want to know, with all of these guys were all wearing their medals and their usher suits in New York, and here in Libya, we don't even know where the closest ship was to the coast of Libya. No jet plane flyover. Where was the closest warship? Was it in Las Vegas? Let's see the 911 call sheet. These guys had a call for help. Let me tell you something, man. When you're getting burned, you're screaming for help. He had an open phone line. Somebody had an open phone line to somebody. Somebody knew. Somebody was taking the call. And where's the call sheet and the phone records of the four Americans trapped and butchered? No autopsies? Somebody says they heard they're going to be autopsied. No cause of death? But it's only a rumor. And you know, rumors are only to pacify the stupid until they forget. You know what? In my experience, I've got three times to remember to do something. The first time when I think about it and I say I'll do it later. The second time when I remember. And the third time I forgot. I get three shots. So I always do everything the first time so I don't have to play the memory game. Do it now. Why no seaside intervention? No autopsies. If that was my son, I would want to know everything down to the last detail. And how do you know that is your son's body in the coffin? So having said that, I'll give you a tune. And when I come back, we'll chat some more. We'll give you an Italian tune in German.
Hörst du das Rauschen der Bäume in Wien? Der Himmel weint Tränen unsere Liebe. Abschied von dir und von der Liebe. Auf unser Glück. Ciao, ciao, Bambina. Du darfst nicht weinen, für dich wird wieder die Sonne scheinen in all den Jahren.
That lies the most when they lose, they accuse the other party of lying. Beware of people. What is that one from Shakespeare? He doth protest too much. Yeah, I like it, man. The Democrats, the party of death, the murderers of little children. Oh, that's they call that now settled law. You're not supposed to talk about that. How many Americans are wearing muzzles today? You got a muzzle on? Huh? Is this something that you just don't talk about because it's too controversial and the enemies of freedom will beat you down like the infidel that you are? Unbelievable. Now, everybody's upset about this, the work percentage that they announced the other day, the Department of Labor, which has been undermined by the party of death. And they rigged the figures. Those figures are rigged. When a guy like, what was his name? Jack, the president of GE, says that this is Chicago politics fudging the numbers. I recall a guy, a businessman, telling me, figures don't lie, but liars figure. And somebody just sent me an email that they believe in the Big Bang Theory. And I emailed them back. I said, I do too. Every Sunday I go visit the Big Banger. But we were talking about lying Democrats and how they accuse others of committing the crimes that they commit. They're terrible. And they fudge the numbers. Was it Jack Welch? Was that his name? Who was the president of GE? And they called him a nut. They said he's senile and he's a nut. Then somebody asked him, and when you were head of GE, how many employees did you have? He said 410,000. And we were the biggest company in the USA. You know what GE is today, right? It's in China, making jet engines for the new Chinese Air Force. Yeah, and donating to Obama, who is going to live his rest of his life in China when everything comes out. When they say, as they say in Iran, when the fit hits the shan. And how are the Israelis doing? Well, they've been told that Iran is far from getting, you can hold off on attacking Iran until after the election because they won't have the bomb for two more days. Yeah. And Boeing was told no layoffs until after the election. Is that the same Boeing that Obama tried to put out of business in South Carolina? Yeah. And the oil industry was told no complaining until after the election. How about complaining about all the deep oil rigs that went to Brazil with a Social Security loan from the Tea Party? Yeah. And not only that, but the oil isn't for the USA. The oil is for China, because China pays cash. Yeah. How about the new Chinese aircraft carrier that's going to be built right after back-to-school sales at Walmart? Oh, what are you talking about? Oh, you mean we're losing our country? Yeah. Yeah, it's only a rumor now. But one morning you'll come out of your house to go to work, and there'll be no job. And even the Mexicans won't be sitting on the stoop waiting for the 6 a.m. pickup. And there will be a Russian officer directing a tank traffic on the corner of your neighborhood. Yeah, oh, that could never happen. It never happens all the time. All the time. So, having said that, let me make your day. I'll give you another tune. Oh, here's one. And this is a good one. Let me see if I can find even a better one. We'll do Coming Home. For all the GIs that are coming home, try not to bring the terrorism here.
Come on.
John Small Don't. He runs a petition called John at USA God and Country Petition.com. If you type in those words, I'm sure you'll find it. God and Country Petition.com. It might be God and Country Petition.com. But I'm sure if you just type in those words, you'll find it. And he sent me an email, a copy of an email. He's talking to a friend, a girl named Lynette. He says, "My dear friend, I'm going to answer your email and all the people you copied along with many other people. First off, you will have to ask yourselves after reading this if I'm accurate in my analysis or out of my mind. That is for you to decide. Now, the answer to those questions. My first answer to you is that you will never get true reporting from the press. Amen. We all know that. We've all come to know that the press is a bunch of liars working for a liar. They are too liberal. Liberal is a bad choice of words. Liberal is too nice a word. I'm a liberal. I like a liberal amount of sugar in my coffee, a liberal amount of salt on my grapefruit, yeah, in my tequila. All right? So I'm a liberal. These liberals are communists. That's what they are. They were hatched in 1940 when Joseph Stalin came to power and swallowed up half of Europe. These are the same people who waved him on. And they are too liberal, and they would never throw Obama under the bus. Progressive is also another nice word for communist. And independent is also a nice word for a Democrat who deserted communism. But he's on call. As far as all the rest of what is mentioned in your email, I will give you my perspective on it. Let us establish one thing right off the bat. President Obama is a brilliant man with an extraordinarily high IQ. He was chosen many years ago by a group of elite executive leaders that comprised the various heads of governments around the world, major World Bank and bank holding company heads, and a few others that comprise of highly educated, wealthy people who are in power today. This elite group are out for one thing and one thing only, one world order. This elite board of powerful individuals was formed many years ago and have been slowly picking away at the concept of freedom and the society that is republic, rule of order. Okay, don't forget, we're a republic. We are a republic. We're not a democracy. They recognize that a complete socialistic communist world order, socialist is another name for communist. Don't be afraid to say the word communist. The communists have put the muzzle on you so to make you censor your own verbiage. And the one thing they want is to have one world order. Now, let me see where I was. Defeating America is a must and their scheme of things in order to achieve their goal of a one world order. Am I scaring you yet? Obama was handpicked, groomed, and educated over the years for exactly what you are seeing him do. This president of ours has managed to take over the financial structure of this company by passing the Financial Regulatory Reform Bill, Dodd-Frank. Let me tell you about Dodd-Frank. Christopher Dodd got the lowest interest mortgage ever given to an American by Countrywide. So Christopher Dodd is on the pit. Barney Frank has one agenda, and that's to make everybody dance funny. Barney Frank ran a prostitution ring out of his basement, and, of course, that's only alleged because they only caught his lover. A male, a prostitution ring. Barney Frank does not have the interest of little children at heart. Barney Frank votes to kill kids. And both Dodd and Frank voted to burn the American flag 40 days before 9/11. Well, you say, well, that was before we attacked and now we're more patriotic. Cagada de toro, my friend. After this 40 days before 9/11 episode, Another attempt was made to pass the Flag Desecration Act, and the same guys that voted against it the last time voted this time. And I wouldn't be surprised if Obama voted against it as a congressman. He has managed to establish the foundation for socialized medicine. He has been able to structure a treaty with one of our most deadly enemies, Russia. Now, Jimmy from Brooklyn has spent his whole life studying the Soviet Union and international communism, from cocaine distribution to KGB infiltration of Columbia University, where they graduate KGB agents daily. Oh, you can't say that. No. Okay, I won't. It's alleged. Now, can I take the muzzle off? So, the Russia-STAR Treaty, which leaves the USA in a vulnerable position and favors Russia primarily. My friends, if you go back and read the writings of any American revolutionary in 1776, from George Washington to Thomas Paine, they will tell you, stay away from foreign entanglements. And George Washington said that. And he also said, in times of peace, prepare for war. And I'll tell you, all you got to do is go to the History Channel, watch World War II, and tell me that he who controls the air controls the world and a victory. And you'll be telling me the truth. And he who rules space will rule the world. And right now, the only ones planning on occupying space in outer space is China. And they plan to have a colony on the moon in 2014, which leaves the USA in a vulnerable position and favors Russia primarily. So Jimmy from Brooklyn says when the wall came down, everybody thought that the communist era was over, but it's not. And that the head of the KGB is now their president. Our president has managed to reduce manufacturing dependency in this country and shipped a great deal of it overseas. He who produces product wins wars. He who has no product to produce but stupidity loses wars. This president has crippled our ability to be energy self-sufficient as a country. We don't need anybody. We got everything right here. I often look at the Kuwait, the being there in 93, and seeing what the Kuwaitis had at that time, how they had to change their currency to a new currency because Saddam had taken their printing presses, and how they went from old KD, Kuwaiti dinars, to new KD, and what the benefits were for Kuwaitis. And I think the population at that time was around 2 million Kuwaitis, and they had like one-fourth of all the oil in the Middle East. So it was easy to take care of 2 million Kuwaitis. But the only product they have is oil. We in America have 300 million Americans, but we got 300 million products. We have gold, we have silver, we have minerals, we have everything. God has given us a cornucopia of independence and products that can make us the number one industrial power in the world once again. Who took us down? We took us down. Our House and Senate took us down. Nancy Pelosi and the California Mafia took down Kaiser Steel and shipped it out to China, where their big smokestacks are the product of Kaiser Steel in California, and now we can't make anything. After World War II, we had the largest merchant marine fleet. Today, you'd have to buy an American flag to put it on a ship that's sailing the ocean, except for the Navy that we have, which is in trouble right now because they couldn't rescue anybody in Benghazi. And nobody is asking them how come. So you want me to go on? Are you scared enough? Here's D-Day. President Eisenhower. All right, he made the call on June the 6th to surprise the Germans. What a surprise they got. The weather was bad. God opened the skies, let our planes fly over. And when Eisenhower looked up, even though he had two envelopes, two letters in his Eisenhower jacket, one if he failed and one if he succeeded. When he looked up in the sky and saw 2,400 planes are flying over to soften up the Germans, he wished he had 4,800 planes. So when the communists tell you that Eisenhower said, beware the military-industrial complex, on D-Day, Eisenhower wanted all that he could get. And never forget, he had two letters, one if he won, one if he lost. George Patton only had one letter, and it wasn't a letter. It was a map of Berlin, and he had a crowdfinder. And that's the difference between leaders. And nobody led from behind on D-Day. And George Patton also said, no good battle decision was ever made in a swivel chair, and that we got an empty swivel chair. Who has destroyed the Middle East in 4 years? Any progress that was made by Bush Rumsfeld has been destroyed. Iraq is now in Iranian hands, and the Americans are told to GTFO, get the hell out. You know that, right? We were told we don't even want to see an embassy here. All right, you can have an embassy, but that's it. Don't come out of it. We'll wave to you from the sidelines. Get lost. Thank you. No negotiating skills. The man is a failure. And Wattles, the head of the Secretary of Defense, she has no negotiating skills either. She's got mouth, but she's got no good deeds done. Our president has also been doing anything he can to reduce our military superiority in the world and has established a foundation to reduce our military budget. Drastic ally in the coming years ahead. Want me to go on? You're not scared enough? This is this John Smaldone's letter. Okay? And we see that. We see what he's doing. Do you know that half of the military is now women? 45% of the military is feminine. Feminine. What's wrong with that? Nothing. There's some tough women. I've seen them change flats. Yeah. Come on. Give me a break. You know what they're going to make? They're going to make great rape victims when we fall. Just like the rest of us. And your family and my family. Let me tell you something. The day that we are not strong is the day we will not live long. This president is growing government by the day. I want to shrink government. I want the government to get the Javaro treatment. Shrink those heads of state. Yeah. This means the federal government will and is dominating our lives, and they're in there now. They're telling you how much soda you can drink. They're telling you when to go to the bathroom. My friends, I can keep going. And the borders are bad news. And all the illegal aliens that are infiltrating into our great nation. And they're coming in here with the help of communists who are now in control of the House and the Senate. The minority is ruling the majority. A guy walks into a school, he sees a cross, he wants the cross removed. Right? 90% of the school is Catholic, and they want the cross removed. Goes to a cemetery, he says, hey, this is on government land. I want all the crosses taken down. Well, you don't think he's not going to do it? When he gets his small victories underway, that's how they do it. They attack the small towns that can't fight back first. Then they come in for the big cities. Yeah. The school has a budget. It can't fight back. It accedes to the wills of the ACLU, which is the great communist legal network in the United States, along with the Southern Poverty Law Center, and now the NAACP. Yep. They're all communist fronts. Allegedly, this is all alleged. Everything I'm talking about tonight is alleged. And now can I take the muzzle off? It is not only Texas, California, Colorado, and these states along that corridor. How about Canada? And all the vast amount of unprotected borders. A lot of Iranians up in Canada. How many terrorist groups are coming in through Canada to set up permanent residence in your backyard as your new neighbors? And here's a scary thought. China bought up all these bad mortgages, and they've got 2 million of them. If they want to come in and take possession of their property, they can do it. Who's going to stop them? Hillary Clinton? John Corzine, oh, John Corzine's not in office anymore. No, he dipped his wick, and he's got a bag full of money. Yeah. And he just donated $30,000 to Obama's campaign. But he lost $1.8 billion that he can't account for, and nobody challenges him because he's in the Dodd-Frank, cabal. Yeah, he's part of that Dodd-Frank cabal. Yeah. And McCain-Feingold. Yeah. And I'm sorry, I voted for John McCain. I owed him for his sacrifice in Vietnam and the beating that he took and every day of his life that he was miserable under the communists led by Jane Fonda and John Kerry. But John McCain, he lost his Liberty Bells. Sorry, John. I got to say it like I see it. I voted for you. I paid you back. I don't owe you nothing now. You gave Obama his entree into destroying the United States. You didn't fight like you would have fought if you were in a plane. Many people say I'm a radical in my thinking, says John Smaldone. I don't think so, not when you look at the tail of the tape. I don't know if you have time or power to stop what is in motion like a freight train. Our president is on a mission from this elite group, this elite board of powerful individuals from hell. They destroy us and our free nation. People, Americans don't understand that. They don't see it. They're watching American Idol. 45 million watch American Idol. They don't see this. They will go to Hollywood movies where these monsters are eating up the human beings. And then the American hero kills the monsters, and all is hunky-dory in the world. They don't see that the body count from 911 is now up to 10,000. They won't even count the 200 unborn children who died with their pro-life mothers on 911. They say the body count at New York was 2,800. No, it wasn't. It was 3,000. Because those babies all were pro-life, and they wanted to live, as did their mothers. But if you can't see them, we can kill them. If nobody's looking at the bucket in the chop shop, you can kill them. Do you know that in Germany, who was convicted of crimes against humanity, Germany, who built concentration camps and destroyed millions of lives, do you know that in Germany today you can't kill an unborn child after 55 days, and we're killing them as their heads come out to see daylight? Just before they reach the exit, the Freedom Canal, we're cutting their heads off in the ninth month. And they're telling you it's only a little bit of tissue. How would you like to have your head cut off? Do you know they won't even vote for anesthesia for full-term babies that are going to be torn to shreds? You know why they won't? They try to pass a law to give anesthesia to the babies they're going to butcher. No, you can't. You know why? Because once you would acknowledge that that baby feels pain, then you're responsible for its survival. So they're turning their backs on screaming children who haven't learned to cry yet. But if they got outside the womb, the first thing the doctor does is slap their ass to get their lungs working, right? I love my country and serve her proudly, and no time is running out. You're right. Obama wins the next 4 years. We no longer have a country. We have the beginning of a civil war, and Obama knows that too, and they're getting ready for it. That's why he brags about he's going to have a military larger than the U.S. military. And do you know that Social Security got more ammunition than the guys in the embassies in the Middle East? You think I'm kidding? Check it out. Google Social Security, 179,000 bullets, and see what comes up. So, having said that, I'm going to break for a tune, and I just want you to know we're in serious mode, and we're going to lose this country in 30 days. You got 30 days left to save your country. Let me go back to a tune. And Obama lies like a rug, and he's hurt my feelings. Sanitize this war that we're losing, in this 9-1-1 war that we're losing. We're not turning over the Middle East to democracy. We're turning the Middle East over to Al-Qaeda and the Taliban and Hezbollah. And we're all going to fight them one way or the other. We used to have a theory, let's fight them there so we don't have to fight them here. But apparently we're being driven back to losing more ground, and we will be fighting them here, and they were already here. And, of course, when they start to strike, we'll have the same old people that gave us 911 saying, how do we know who the bad guys are? When in doubt, take them all out. So beware of buzzwords like green versus blue and NATO troops. When they tell you 2,000 NATO troops got killed in Afghanistan, they're leaving out the most important word, American. And I see that Chris Matthews was taken away in a straitjacket on the Tonight Show the other night. That was very good. Jay Leno would be smart to go conservative, and he would probably double his viewer share instead of trying to be another David Letterhead. So, having said that, the debates are coming up. Next one up is Joe Biden and Paul Ryan, and I wish Paul Ryan well. They're going to try and make him out to look like he's inexperienced and a boy doing a man's job. No, we already have a boy who can't do a man's job. We don't need, and he's a president, we don't need that. We don't need that image. Paul Ryan knows his numbers, and Joe Biden will lie. This is all that's left with the party of death. We've failed, and now we have to lie. So I just thought I'd tell you about that, and we'll give you a little Louis Armstrong, and if you like a Dixieland, there's a little bridge of Dixieland music in here that I love.
From the table up at Birdland to the place where Dizzy dwells. In the beards and the funny hats they love so well. All the boppers are assembled, and when they're really high, they constitute a weird personnel. All the riffs these cats are playing are crazy, cool, and gone like this. Ooly oo, Scooby Goo, Ooby Dooby Dooby, Oo Bobby Dappin' like that. So let them beat their brains out till their flatted fifths are gone, and they'll pass and be forgotten like the rest. Yes, they're poor little cats who have lost their way. Ba 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 ba. They're little lost sheep who have gone astray. Ba 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 ba. Every wrong note that they play is a gem. So Lord have mercy on every one of them, for they Bye-bye.
You heard one of the EPA appointed members by Barack Obama say that he uses the old Roman tactic that the Romans used to use, wipe out a small village, and that'll scare all the other villages into falling in line rather than suffer the same fate. And a small village could be a business. Small village could be an individual. And that tactic is used today by the ACLU, removing a Christ from the country. And that's who the main target is. They'll get the others later. And just remember, divide and conquer, that's DNC. And that's their party, the party of death. And we are divided more today than when Louis Armstrong sang that tune and he was ambassador to Africa, music ambassador to Africa. And he said, when I got there, those cats were fighting. And when I left, those cats were fighting. But while I was there, they were dancing and singing. How sad, right? How sad. And that was back in Louis' time, and the same crap is going down. Africa today is darker than it was in the 50s. Africa today is one big depository for Russian weaponry. And if you notice, all of these revolutions and all of these uprisings, every time you look at the weaponry, it's all Soviet. They are making a bundle. Yet the leftists in this country will tell you we are the arms dealers. But I don't see any American arms here. The only American arms I see are the ones that Eric Holder sells to the narco-terrorists of four regiments, so far he's armed, in Mexico. And they tell you it's one border guard, it's 70,000 dead Mexicans. And we're responsible for it. Because our tax money went to arm those narco-terrorists. And last night we had a discussion about drugs. Can we eliminate the drug threat in the United States? You know what the consensus of opinion was? No. And I said, why not? He says, because it's part of our economy now. How's that? Isn't that great? Isn't that great? So here's Read It and Weep. If Obama, a.k.a. Barry Sotero, a.k.a. Harrison J. Bunnell, I didn't even know about Harrison J. Bunnell. Somebody's got to Google that one. Harrison J. B-O-U-N-E-L is reelected in 2012. The U.S. is finished. The following is in simple language that everyone can understand, not the gibberish that our government keeps telling people. Please read this carefully. This needs to be emailed to everyone by Wayne Allen Root. Barack Hussein Obama is no fool. He is not incompetent. On the contrary, he is brilliant. He knows exactly what he's doing. He is purposely overwhelming the U.S. economy to create systemic failure, economic crisis, and social chaos, thereby destroying capitalism and our country from within. Barack Hussein Obama was my college classmate. The guy's name is Wayne Allen Root. A-L-L-Y-N, Root, like in the tree. He is a devout Muslim. Do not be fooled. Oh, Columbia University, class of 83. He's a devout Muslim. Do not be fooled. Look at his czars. Anti-business, anti-American. As Glenn Beck correctly predicted from day one. Now, we all trust Fox. We all rely on Fox, which is supposed to be right-wing, but there's no such thing as right-wing in America today. It's mainstream American. And we look to Fox for honesty and truth, but they're the ones that eased Glenn Beck out. Now, the excuse, or the truth, or a lie, was that his sponsors were canceling. Okay, and his ratings were dropping. I don't believe that for a minute. I loved his chalkboard classes. Okay, and now if you look, you see Lou Dobbs is using the chalkboard. Mike Savage made fun of his chalkboard classes, but where is Mike Savage today? He too has been eliminated, as has Steve Malzberg, as has Pat Buchanan. Okay, the right-wingers are being muzzled by the Muslims, communist Muslims. Barack Hussein Obama is following the plan of Cloward and Piven, two professors at Columbia University, Cloward and Piven. They outlined the plan to socialize America by overwhelming the system with government spending and entitlement demands. Now, they all jumped on Romney's 47%, but Romney's a businessman, and he made an evaluation, and what he said is 47% of this country that can vote will not vote for me because they're getting government handouts. Where is the lie in that fact? It's the truth. Now, just think about it. If you're a communist and already you got 47% of the voting population in your pocket because they owe you and you're smearing them, what else do they have to do? Get 4% more and they got a majority? Add up the clues below. Take individually, they're alarming. Take as a whole, it is a brilliant Machiavellian game plan to turn the United States into a Marxist state with a permanent majority that desperately needs government for survival. Let me tell you something about Marxist state. You look at any Marxist state and you will find that they are nothing more than capitalists, and it's Marxism and communism is big business. And the people on the top are not poor, only the people on the bottom. And everybody's on the bottom in a communist state except the people on top. There is no middle class in a Marxist state. Fidel Castro owns all the sugarcane. Fidel Castro owns all the tobacco and cigars. And people are dragged out of universities to go cut the sugarcane for free because Fidel has given them a revolution, and he did it all for them. And the $670 million he has in the bank account, not counting the drug money. You don't think that Cuba is not a warehouse for drugs to get to the United States? How can we tell? We can't get there. How can we check that out? Oh, we have ways. Yeah, could you get four guys off a beach in Benghazi? No, we couldn't do that. Why not? We were told to leave them there and let them die. Who told you that? They're the Secretary of State. Oh, no, she would never say that. Well, it's alleged. Everything is alleged. The health care bill has very little to do with health care. It has everything to do with unionizing millions of hospital and health care workers. Now, let me ask you something about unions. Everybody talks about the big business as a threat. Well, the biggest business in the United States is the U.S. government. There's nobody bigger than the U.S. government. This government has the power to borrow money from foreign nations. Who is bigger than that? Now, the U.S. government is sponsored by the taxpayers of the United States. Why would the taxpayers of the United States encourage a union to strike against them, to demand more wages from them? Why would we do that? Why does government need unions? Government is the most accomplishing employer of record. There's no more considerate employer of record than the federal government. Why do we need a union to protect the employees of that union from the federal government? That's, what do they call that? An oxymoron? So, they're going to unionize millions of hospitals and healthcare workers, and I got to tell you this already, doctors are getting ready. They're selecting their clientele, and everybody else is going to be told a call back in 4 weeks. They're not going to handle a lot of clients. They're going to carefully select. We got a notice today from a good doctor that says, first come, first served. I'm going to take 2,400 customers, and everybody else has to go elsewhere. And we had a survey done by another doctor we know, a great doctor, a family doctor, a hands-on doctor, a general practitioner, and he did a survey. If I told you you had to pay me $2,400 a year for my services, would you pay it? And we said yes. So, as well as adding 15,000 to 20,000 new IRS agents who will join government employee unions. Obama doesn't care that giving free health care to 30 million Americans will add trillions to the national debt. What he does care about is that it cements the dependence of those 30 million voters to Democrats and big government. Who but a socialist revolutionary would pass this reckless spending bill in the middle of a depression? Now, why can't the Republicans tell us that? Why do they always have to look like they're the nice guys and go along to get along? Republicans should be saying what it is. But the Republicans are, I call them repuppies. When the Democrat Party tells the sitting president of the United States, who was the main target of 9-1-1, not to talk about 9-1-1 in the in his second re-election campaign, and he does it. You know, repuppies are just what they are: repuppies and repuppets. So here we got cap and trade, like health care legislation having nothing to do with health care. Cap and trade has nothing to do with global warming. It has everything to do with redistribution of income. Government control of the economy and a criminal payoff to Obama's biggest contributors. Those powerful and wealthy unions and contributors like GE, which owns NBC, MSNBC, and CNBC, can then be counted on to support everything Obama wants. They will kick back hundreds of millions of dollars in contributions to Obama, and the Democrat Party will keep them in power. The bonus is that all new taxes on Americans with bigger cars, bigger homes, and business helps Obama spread the wealth around. making Puerto Rico a state. Who's asking for a 51st state? Who's asking for millions of new welfare recipients and governmental entitlement addicts in the middle of a depression? Certainly not American taxpayers, but this has been Obama's plan all along. His goal is to add two new Democrat senators, five Democrat congressmen, and a million loyal Democratic voters who are dependent on big government. And this will tip the balance of those living off the government to more than those who must pay for it, and we're done for. Legalize 12 million illegal Mexican immigrants. Just giving these 12 million potential new citizens a free health care alone could overwhelm the system and bankrupt America. But it adds 12 million reliable new Democrat voters who can be counted on to support big government. Add another few trillion dollars in welfare aid to dependent children, food stamps, free medical, education, tax credits for the poor, and eventually Social Security. See note above, Puerto Rico. Stimulus and bailouts. Where did all the money go? It went to Democrat contributors, organizations, ACORN, and unions, including billions of dollars to save or create jobs of government employees across the country. It went to save GM and Chrysler so that their employees could keep paying union dues. It went to AIG so that Goldman Sachs could be bailed out. I remember the first tranche that went to AIG. I think it was $850 billion, and $250 of it went to European banks right after they had the money. A staggering 100, let me see what this says here, Goldman Sachs could be bailed out after giving Obama almost a million in contributions. A staggering $125 billion went to teachers, thereby protecting their union dues. All these public employees will vote loyally Democrat to protect their bloated salaries and pensions that are bankrupting America. The country goes broke. Did you see those teachers in Chicago on strike? Because they wanted more than, what was it, 36% increase in salary? Right? Did you see them on strike? Would you want any one of them teaching your kid? Did you see what they look like? And the unions grow more powerful. The end just raised taxes on small business owners, high income earners, and job creators. Push the entire burden on only the top 20% of taxpayers. Redistribute their income. Punish success and reward those who did nothing to deserve it. But vote for Obama. Then they tell you what Reagan wanted to do. And add it all up and you got the perfect Marxist scheme, all devised by my Columbia University College classmate Barack Hussein Obama, using the Cloward, CLOWARD, and Piven plan. That's PIVEN, Cloward and Piven plan. And he says Google Snopes and politics, and you can get all the rest of the information. I'm closing, my friends. I'm saying sayonara. I'll see if I can give you a tune on the way out. And we'll do a short one.
It's so important to make someone happy. Make just one someone happy. Make just one heart-to-heart you. You sing to one smile that cheers you. One face that lights when it nears you. One girl, you're everything. If you win it, comes and goes in a minute. Where's the real stuff in life to cling to? Love is the answer. Someone to love is the answer. Once you've found her, build your world around her. Make someone happy. Make just one someone happy. And you
will be happy too.